Today's parsha is Yisro. The pasuk says, "Vayishma Yisro," and Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe, a Kohen of Midian, the priestly leader of the land of Midian, and Yisro heard, and that's a long pasuk. And Vayishma Yisro, Rashi comments, Mashmua Shoma Ubo. The main point is that Yisro heard, and then at a few sentences further on, it says, Vayovo, they came out to the Midbar where the Jews were and where Moshe, his son-in-law, was. And so Rashi says, Mashmua Shoma Ubo. The main point is Bo, that he came. Mashmua, what did he hear that prompted him to come out to the Midbar, a desolate place where the Jews were encamped together with Moshe Rabbeinu? And Rashi says, Kiryas Yamsuf Umelchemes Amorek. Yisro heard that there had been a splitting of the Red Sea when the Jews were crossing it, and the Mitzrayim were drowned, and Melchemes Amalek. The war following that, there was a war at a place called Rephidim with Amalek, an old enemy of Israel. Now, what connection does the Kiryas Yamsuf have with Amalek? And Kiryas Yamsuf represents that contrary to the concept of many non-Jews, that Hashem is the owner or the melech of the abosho of the land that is settled. But Yam, in the Yam, there he is not necessarily the boss. But we, of course, we believe, and we say that in the Aseres HaDibros, we will read in Yom in a short time, that in the Ten Commandments, it says, Zochar Zim HaShabbos L'Katre, remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy. Kisheshes Yomim Osa Hashem Eshashamayim Esoretz. Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Eshayom Eshkol HaShabom. He created the Yom, the oceans, and everything was in it. And the Gemara says in Chulin, Gemara says, Kol mas yesh bayam, bosho yesh bayam. All the animals and birds that you will find in the abosho, on the land, in the one that is not underwater, you will find a similar, a parallel creation in all the fishes in the sea. There are as many kinds of animals and so on. Well, as whatever Noach took into the Teva when there was a big flood, whatever kind of animal there is also a creature like that in the Abosha. Chutz min Achuda. There was one exception found only on the Abosha, on the dry land, and not in the Yam. That is the Chuldo, commonly translated the Chuldo as a weasel. But Chuldo actually is a reference to the word Choled. Hazino called Yoshe Cholet. David HaMelech says in Tillim, he calls the people that live in the Abosha on the land Yoshe Cholet. Cholet means dry land, because the Chulda is found only on dry land. So that's Yoshe Cholet. What is the meaning? Maral de Prague interprets it that the word Chulda means Cholet, means there is always a desire. People live on the land, there's always a desire to could be bigger and better. But people that live in the waters, they are satisfied. The creatures that live in the waters, they are satisfied. And that is a reference to the Yoshim, the people that live in waters of the Talmud, the Yamat Talmud, the people, the scholars who are engaged in the study of the Talmud, Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebal Ksav, they are not interested in what most people, the Abosha, are interested in, which means acquiring more wealth and more recognition and everything. This does not exist in the Yam. So therefore, that's what Rashi says. When Yisro heard Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem, he is the Melech in the Yamsuf. He created a situation that Jews could cross on dry land. It wasn't even wet. It was dry land. And dry land. And then there was a war with Amalek. Amalek was not interested, and it came and had a bill. Therefore, so Yisroel decided to come out to the Midbar and to meet with his son-in-law, with Moshe Rabbeinu, and to the Klal Yisroel. And it says that he came there, and Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, greeted him by Yishak, Yisrael Lisholim, and Moshe Rabbeinu kissed him, as Rashi says, and he was very delighted that he came. And Vayichad Yisro, and after hearing what Hashem has done for the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, that there have been such nisim, such miracles, Vayichad Yisro, and the Talmud brings two explanations. Vayichad. What is the word Vayichad? So Rashi says, Shutai means Vayichad Moshe Chedvo. He was very happy. He was delighted to hear that the Jews had been saved from the being avodim, being servants under the words, under the hands of Pharaoh and Mitzrayim. Then Rashi says, Vayichad, he says the opinion of Shmuel, Nasa besorah chidudim chidudim. His flesh, his very skin became like it was cutting. He felt anguish because Yisrael was one of the three advisors of Pharaoh. He grew up in Mitzrayim, and when he advised against persecuting the Jews, he was told he was no longer needed. That's why he left for the land of Midian. And who would remain behind? Of course, Bilam. He was the one who was advising Pharaoh. And now he'd heard that the very people that he had grown up with, his landslide, you would call them, that they were all perished. As Rashi said, everyone, Rashi and the Romans, that everyone, not only the people in the that were drowned by the flood in Yamsuf, But even the people that were back home, there was what we call today a tsunami, a flood came out from the Red Sea, a tidal wave from the Yam Suf, and swept back over Mitzrayim, and there were no Egyptians left. They all drowned, all the Egyptians. The ones that chased after the Jews, and the ones, the enemies that stayed home, these homos tiba, they were all drowned in the depths of the ocean, whether the ocean mamish, like the ones in the Yam Suf, or like the ones with the tidal wave back in Mitzrayim. And therefore, he says, Yisrael realized all the people that he had grown up with, his comrades, they had all perished. It was very bitter. You know, even today, people who were living in Germany and now they're in the United States, and when they saw the destruction, the American army and the British, the destruction that they did in Germany in the Second World War, they are amazed and are hurt. Of course, they grew up in Germany. Never mind that Germany turned into one of the worst enemies the Jews have ever had. But that is Vayichad Yisrael. But Yerav says Vayichad Chad also means sharp, because Yisrael was a Gentile. He was not a Jew at first. But when he heard about what happened to the Jewish people, he decided to become a Jew. His very name, Yisrael, Yud Tov Resh Vov, adds up to 616. Every ordinary Jew knows that there are Taryag mitzvahs, 613. But a Ger, somebody who's a convert to Judaism, he has 616, because he must have milah, he must be circumcised, tefillah, he must go in the mikveh, and he must bring a korban. Unfortunately, today we have no beis hamikdash, so the korban we do without it. So we only have two. We have milah, tefillah. And of course, a woman doesn't need milah, so tefillah one, that's it. So therefore his name was Yisrael, signifying that he had 616 mitzvahs. And Vayichad means that he cut off, he saw that somebody should remove his orla, and he should become circumcised. As they zokt the Gemara. So Rav says, Vayichad means Mol, I became a Gemalita, the Seis of Sechlein, and Shmuel says, Nasa Besore Chidudim Chadudim. Now, the Marshal Fakta Kasha, why does Yisrael need to have a circumcision? We learned back in Chayesora that Avraham Avinu, when he was circumcised, at the age of 99, that he also circumcised all of his children, and he had two children, he had Yishmael, and later on Yitzchok, and then he had Bnei Keturah, he had six children from his second wife, from Keturah, and they were all circumcised. So in other words, why did he say that became circumcised here? This is Mashal Zakash in Sanhedrin. And Mashal is very difficult to understand, because there's a machlekes, a difference of opinion between Rashi and the Rambam. What does it mean, Bnei Keturah Chayovim Mamila? Rashi says Bnei Keturah, the six children that his wife Keturah had, they were born with Orla, so they had to be circumcised. But the Rambam says, Bnei Keturah Chayovim Bemila, all the nations that came from Keturah, they had the tradition of removing the all of circumcision. To this day, the Arabs are ones that are descended from the Ketuvim. So what is Chaim Shor for the Rambam and Rashi? The Rashi himself doesn't say, is an altikash. So we're going to skip a little bit, and we're going to go now into the Aseres HaDibros. Remember that the Torah describes, meanwhile, about the wonderful advice that Yisro was a man of experience. He's older than Moshe, and he had experience, and he told them, even though you are trying to help everybody, he became a Rebbe. He would call him a Rebbe in today's language, and he would sit all day and answer problems and give him advice and so on. Wonderful. But Yisro said to him, that's not for you, because you will become aged, you will become too tired, you won't be able to do this. So I advise you that you pick out the most prominent Jews among them. You should have an Shechayel, Virei Elikim, and so on. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's a good idea, but Moshe Rabbeinu decided to look amongst the Jews to find people who are Anshei Chayil, Yirei Elikim, capable people and honest people and so on. And he did not find many people that had all the qualities mentioned. He decided the most important is Anshei Chayil. They are capable and able. So therefore, Vayivchar Moshe Anshei Chayil, people that are efficient, people that are able, that is the most important quality, more than Yirei Elikim. So therefore, Vayivchar Moshe Anshei Chayil, and he did that. And now we're going to go on to the next chapter. The Torah says, V'chedesh HaShlishi. Remember, they left Mitzrayim, and it was in Nisan, the first month of the new year. Right? Because the months begin with Nisan. The year begins with Tishri. This was in Nisan. And that's why Pesach is right in Nisan. But now it is after Nisan. It is already after the second month. The second month, of course, is the year. That was the month in which they began to get the mon. Remember, they had no food out in the desert, and Hashem sent the food by delivery, special delivery from the air, from the clouds, and there was enough food. And Rav Sadia Goen, one of our greatest science thinkers, one of the greatest scholars 1,000 years ago, Rav Sadia Goen says, the Ness, the miracle of the month for falling from the sky, falling from the clouds, every day, except on Friday, there was a double portion, and Shabbos, there was no month. This going on miracle for 40 years, 40 years the mon fell regularly as many Jewish people as there were in the Midbar. And as one account, there were maybe up to 20 million people that left Mitzrayim, the Shita Gebetzes, but Bekama, that it seems there were 20 million people, young and old, men and women, and every day for 40 years, there was enough money to feed 20 million people. And that's what Sadi Gaon says, that is the greatest miracle in the history of mankind. Never mind a miracle for Jews. The history of mankind, that was the greatest miracle. That's 40 years nonstop. They ate the mud until they entered Eretz soil. 40 years in the Midbar, they sat and learned, nothing to worry about panosa, about sustenance, because they didn't have to send out, you know, mishalachim, you know, people to worry about finances. There was enough to eat and everything, and there was, and as they grew older, a little boy was born. There was a new portion of mud, and then and the suit of clothing that was born with grew with his growth, and this went on for years and years until they entered Eretz Yisrael. And now comes the hello. Okay, now comes the parsha, of course, which is the center of the entire chumash, the giving of the Ten Commandments, Aseres Hadibros on Sinai. And according to Chazal, the Talmud says that Mount Sinai was not the highest mountain. It's very difficult to estimate which one of the mountains. But anyway, I think there is a mountain that is commonly accepted as Mount Sinai, Mount Sinai. A blueish mountain, wonderful blossoms and so on. Anyway, so the Mount Sinai, they came there, and it was the third month, the month of Sivan, and there is a difference of opinion in the Talmud whether what we call Shavuos, the day of giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, was that the sixth day of Sivan or the seventh day? But we were nothing to worry about because it's very easy to find out when a Shavuos. You don't have to worry about looking at the moon because Shavuos is exactly the 50th day, 50 days after beginning of Pesach, beginning of Passover. Now, that's why we count the Omer, Shiras Omer. We begin the second night of Pesach at the Seder, and lo and behold, the 50th day is Yom Teshuvos. Of course, in Israel, they have one day. We have 2 days. Although we have no doubt that that is right, because it has nothing to do with the moon here. It has to do with the 50th day. Okay. Anyway, so Machedesh HaShlishi, the Torah says the third month, Sivan, and Rosh Chodesh, they came to Har Sinai, and then there were a period of Shloshes Me'agbala, preparing for the great event, Matan Torah, the event, you know, Yankiv Avinu, after the fight with the angel, and he came, and way back in Parsha Vayishlach, it says, Vayizrach lo hashemesh kasher oma es penuel, that Avraham Avinu was limping a little bit because the angel had attacked him, but when he came and he saw the sunrise, he says, this place should be called Peniel. But Panisi Lekim Panim El Panim Vatzi Notzel Nafshi. Yankiv Avinu foresaw there would come a time when his children would come out of Egypt, out of Mitzrayim, and they would come to Mount Sinai, and over there, Oisi Lekim Panim El Panim Hashem, it appeared to the Jewish nation, 600,000 men of military age, and some say up to 20 million people, and Hashem appeared to them, and that saved my soul, because Yankiv Avinu foresaw that his children, Nebuchadnezzar, they would come down to Israel, and Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, and they would be scattered throughout the nations of the world. Who is that? Hello?
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 2-2-2. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 2-2-2.
Hello?
Yeah, I think we're ready to continue.
Oh, continue. Okay, good. Now, so this is a very important, what Yankee Avinu foresaw, that Vatinotzel Nafshi, O Yisrael Kim Ponim El Ponim Vatinotzel Nafshi. Do you know why I was saved in the Golas for 2,000 years? Because we saw Maimon Har Sinai, and there was installed in us a faith l'derech olam, that when we saw Hashem Har Sinai, we don't have to learn the Mora Nevuchim and others to know that there is a God in the world that controls everything. We witnessed it. There was a one time in the history of mankind that Hashem appeared to the Jewish people in Har Sinai, and that is the Mecca, the source of all religion, and even Lahavdol, some of the other religions, that they have, of course, based on the Jewish religion. Of course, it has become a bit confused, their belief, but the Mashiach will come up and straighten them out. And of course, the Muslim religion, right? The Muslim religion is very pure. They believe in one God. They have no images, nothing. So that is also based upon the Jewish religion. We call it Jewish religion, but it's Kim Panim upon. Now let's go into the first of all, the first word that Hashem spoke to the Jewish people. Onokhi Hashem Elokecho, I am the Lord your God, Asher Otsaisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I brought you forth from the land of Mitzrayim. This terrible land where you've been slaves up to 400 years, according to Avraham Avinu. 400 years. And now that, because of a miracle and by smiting of the firstborn, they came out. Now, of course, the obvious question is, why did Hashem not say, Anochi Hashem Elokecho, I am the Lord your God, Asher Barosi Shomayim V'Oretz? Where do you think the world came from? I created the world. Asher Barosi, why do you say, Asher Sichem El Sassar? There are many answers. The answer that appeals to me, that there is, based on the halacha in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, the din is, of course, that human life is the first consideration in any religion, actually, but certainly in the Jewish religion. God forbid, if a person's life is in danger, then that is more important to keeping than keeping Shabbos or doing other things, or eating, and something that is not kosher, right? Because that is human life. And the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the Taz, one of our great scholars, about 1600 and something, and they all say, the mitzvah begedele Yisrael. If you have to go on Shabbos and cook a meal for somebody who is deathly sick, God forbid, you don't say, let's go to some kitchen where there's a non-Jew. No, sir. You don't even go where there's a Jew, a little boy, you're not bar mitzvah. No, sir. Gedolei Yisrael. If this is a mitzvah and you're worried about a human life, the human life is the most sacred item in this world. It is more sacred than the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it is more sacred than Shabbos, more sacred than the Seder on Pesach night. It is the human being which is the source of all sacredness in this world. And we have scholars. If we had scholars like Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua Ben Nun, and then, of course, L'Anshe Knesset HaGdola and Shimon HaTzadik, because they are human beings. L'Nito Teir al Malach HaShoros. The Teir was not given to Malach HaShoros, to the angel in the sky. The Teir was given to human beings in this world. That is the greatest source. If a non-Jew should sit down, take out parchment and ink, and write a Sefer Torah, or write a pair of tefillin. That pair of tefillin doesn't mean anything. Fine. But when a Jew, he's descended from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he sits down and takes out a parchment and a pen and ink, and he writes a pair of tefillin, and he has in mind that should have the kedusha tefillin, that he communicates, so to speak, some of the kedusha in him to that very parchment, and the tefillin, the parchment, become holy. Because the greatest kedusha is a human being. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, if God forbid a human life is in sakona, in danger, mortal danger, then you have to be mechalel Shabbos to save him. Don't look for excuses, don't look for tzvach. Go ahead, and the Gedele Yisrael, they should have and want the source. That is what Hashem said. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Do you know my first quality? Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the one who gives you Kedusha. I saw you in Mitzrayim. You were in slavery, and I brought you out. I did, and like we say in the Haggadah, Anochi Le'adei Shliach, Le'adei Malach. I did not send an agent. I did not send a malach, an angel, a malach, lay the soft. I need b'chvedi miatzmi. So now we see how important it is that you observe the Torah, observe the Tayag Mitzvahs, because Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Sisicha. I myself went to Mitzrayim to extract you from that unholy place called Mitzrayim, Egypt. Now the Torah considers, do not learn Li'elachalihim Acherim Aponai. As long as Hashem is here forever, you never have another deity, another God on my face. Never, well, by myself or by a person, no, sir. There is only one God in this world, and that is Hashem. Then the Torah continues, and remember that Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, are divided into two parts. The first five commandments, Bein Odom LaMokom, relationship between man and God. The second five, Leisilsel, do not murder, etc. Bein Odom LaChavere, between man and man. So we continue now. Leisilsel, Hashem Hashem Lekecha Lashov. Don't swear. Don't take the name of Hashem in futility, Lashem for nothing. Don't, even the non-Jews, when they go to court, when I recall, if callers are witness, the first thing they must do is swear by God they're telling the truth. Some put their hand on a Bible, some on a Quran, but they swear by the name of God. so that not to swear false. Then comes the mitzvah, Zohar Hashem HaShabbos L'Katrei. Remember, that's the basis. One of the pillars of the Jewish religion is, of course, Shabbos. Shabbos is a reminder the world was created in 6 days, all the way back in Bereishis, you know, on Simchas Torah. We begin reading again. We finish the Torah and El Sina and Simchas Torah, and we begin from Bereishis again. And the first 6 days tells about the creation of the world. And the seventh day is Shabbos, the day of rest. So when we rest on Shabbos, that we are witnessing that Hashem created the world in 6 days. This is a pillar stone of the religion. Mechal Shabbos, Ke'evin Avedah Zarah. A person who is Mechal Shabbos, like he's worshiping an idol, because he denies, God forbid, that Hashem created the world. That is why it is over. Mechal Shabbos Ke'evin Avedah Zarah. Worst thing. And the Torah says, Zohar Hashem HaShabbos L'Katrei. You must remember every Shabbos. This is what we call Kiddush. Now, there is a difference of opinion. Rashi says that the fact that we make Kiddush over wine or grape juice, because we have no wine very often, is because that is the mitzvah of Zohar Hashem HaShabbos L'Katrei. The Rambam and Tesis disagree. The fact that a person says the Tfilas and he comes home Friday night and he says Good Shabbos to his wife, to the children, that is accepting the Ksusha of Shabbos. The fact that we have wine and we come out and we say the whole Baruch and wine, and that is the Rabbanan later on, the Chachomim, or perhaps even Moshe Rabbeinu made it, but it is not Minat Torah. Minat Torah is just remember. But anyway, but the mitzvah of wine is certainly a great mitzvah. Of course, I remember there were years in America where we had prohibition. Nobody was allowed to buy wine. There were no liquor stores, nothing. No whiskey, no wine, no beer, nothing. And those days, what did you make? So I remember we used to make our own wine. My parents used to make their own wine. And they had, for the Seder, they needed wine, of course. And for the whole summer, there was wine. A whole barrel of wine. Came after Sukkot, there was no wine. My father would make Kiddush on challah, on bread, which is something people don't even know that. There is such a law. The law is if you have no wine, you make Kiddush over bread. But making Kiddush is an absolute mitzvah, and it is not only for men. Many mitzvahs, you know, women are exempt. They don't have to wear tefillah. They don't have to wear tzitzis and so on. But the mitzvah of making Kiddush Friday night and the mitzvah of drinking wine at the Seder, that's mitzvah, and eating matzah, that mitzvah applies to women as well. Universal mitzvahs. That's how important it is. So that's about Zohar Shem HaShabbos L'Katrei. And there the Torah says, Leisasech or Malocha, remember, as Shabbos comes, you're not supposed to Malocha any work. And the definition of work, 39 definitions, Lamentes Malochas, and the Torah says, Leisasech or Malocha, Aso Vincho Vitecho, you have a child, a boy or a girl under 13. They're not Bar Mitzvah yet. Usually they're exempt. Here the Torah says, If if you tell your son or your daughter, 10-year-old daughter, to go put on the lights on Shabbos, it's not that she is Michal Shabbos. She's not for Mitzvah yet. But you are telling her to do, and you have the Avera, you are Michal Shabbos. You are Michal Shabbos, and from now on your Shechita is not acceptable. It's like a non-Jew with checks, a chicken or an animal, whatever. It must be a Jewish man, a shechet, a competent shechet. And so you become that because you tell your son. It's not a question of chinuch. Chinuch is to educate your son and get him to practice to do a mitzvah. That's why when he's a 12 and a half or 12 and three quarters, you get him a pair of tefillin and you teach him put on tefillin. Later on when he gets married, or some have the custom made a mitzvah, they get him a talis, tzitzis, and so on. That is chinuch. This is more than chinuch. The one who tells his son or daughter to do something on Shabbos forbidden, he is the Michal Shabbos. His son is actually innocent. He's not bar mitzvah yet. That's a very important distinction. And of course you can't even work with a, you can't drive a car on Shabbos. You can't work with a horse, go to plow the fields on Shabbos. Because of plenty of time, you're not working. Absolutely forbidden. You're Michal Shabbos. That's so much for the mitzvah of Shabbos as a cornerstone. There is a comment of one of the greatest scholars in the 1500s, Rabbeinu Shlomo Luria. He was a rav in a big city in Poland, in Lublin. The Marshal, you know. Marshal writes, there was a well-known legend that Hashem, when he wanted to give the Torah, at first he sent a messenger, a Novi, a prophet, to Yishmael, to the Arab nations, and then to the Christian nations. They did not want to accept it. They wanted to know what's in it. No, it's not for them. And then he went to the Jewish people, and of course they accepted it. Zotka Marshal, why did not the Gentiles, why didn't they accept it? Dr. Marshall, a unique answer. They said to him, if you had given us the Torah on the same condition that the Jews have the Torah, the seventh day, Shabbos, is a day of complete rest. If it was offered to us with the same condition, a day of rest, we might have considered it. Hello?
Yes.
But when you come along and you do not to us, you say, so Pesach and Noach, that Noach came out of the table, he was told, do not rest. You have to work nonstop. Oh, we don't want such a Torah. We want to have sometimes that a person sort of rest and have time. I think we'll have to stop again. Hello?
Yes, sir.
What's all that noise?
Why should we stop? Adarabe.
Okay, so we'll continue. Okay. This Marshal, what is that? I don't understand that. Anyway, so this Marshal is mamish an eye-opener. What Shabbos means, the fact that the non-Jewish people, the Muslims, the Christians, did not want to accept one reason only, because there's no Shabbos in their Torah. In their offer that Hashem offered them, he did not offer them a Shabbos. If he would have offered them, you have 6 days of mitzvahs and then one day of Shabbos of complete rest, they might have considered it. Much, it's not guaranteed. But the Jewish people, he said to them, this is it. You are not given a choice. You will take the Torah, and not only the Torah Shebiksav, not only what we call the Chumash and the Tayag Mitzvah, 606, but also the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh, the Talmud and the Rambam and so on, all the different authorities, and they are the ones who interpret the meaning of the Torah. It's like you have a business, you know. If you have a computer, you must have a manual to understand how to read a computer. If you have the Torah Shebiksav by itself, it is not understandable. You know, there was a sect in Israel, unfortunately. They called themselves the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Tzdukim and Baitusim. There were two people, one was Tzadik, one was Baitus, who were misled. They only accepted the Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebaal Peh, there was no written instruction, so therefore they don't accept it, which is a stupidity, because Torah Shebaal Peh is the manual. Without the Torah Shebaal Peh, you don't understand. For example, the Tzdukim, they say the Torah talks about tzitzis, urisem also, and you must see it. If you go into a place of worship in Tzdukim, they have a talis hanging on the wall, and everybody can look at it. Urisem also. That's not what the mitzvah of tzitzis is all about. The mitzvah of tzitzis, everybody must wear tzitzis, a mitzvah, and so on. And the mitzvah of Shabbos, of course, the way it's interpreted by the rabbis, and so on. And finally, when the rabbis saw that they were being scattered, so they came in the second temple, second Beis Hamikdash, there was a group of 120 scholars called the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. They are the people of the great conference, and they wrote down all of Torah Shebaal Peh, and they consolidated into what we call the Talmud, and that became the backbone, even though it was written down, but it wasn't Baal Peh, but it was written down, and it was became the source of the entire Jewish religion. And the covenant that we had with Hashem is on a Torah Shebaal Peh. Ki al pi ha-dvorim ha-ele korati etcho bris. It's a posik at the end of Kisiso. The bris, the covenant that we have with Hashem is al pi ha-Torah, al pi ha-bris. That is the bris, that is the oral law. Bris. And that is the covenant of which we exist to this very day. So that is the mitzvah of Shabbos. Now, so much for the mitzvah of Torah Shebel Shebein Odom Amokim. The first five mitzvahs, the first five of the Ten Commandments, as I said, relate between man and God. Then comes the second set. The first one is Lo Sirtzoch. And you look very carefully that they read that not Lo Sirtzoch, but Lo Tirtzoch. Lo Tinov, with a tough. Lo Tignov. And therefore, if you know a little bit of Digduk, there is read in two sentences. Lo Tirtzoch. Sometimes there is a prohibition, sometimes there's a mitzvah of tirtzach. Where, there's an old question, where does society get the authority to take a person's life? If he's a criminal, he's a gangster, what gives us, the community, the power to take his life? The Zohar says because Lei Shiltzoch is two commandments. Lei, and then there is Tipcho, that is by itself, and then Tiltzoch. If it would be continued, it would be Shiltzoch. If it's Tiltzoch, means that you, the Besdin, according to the Jewish law, did, if somebody does a certain avera, punishable on certain by death, and we have the right to take his life. Now, it must be a competent. It must be 23 judges, 23 judges, and must have witnesses who saw actually this man doing. He was born. Don't you dare do it, and he just disobeyed. There are, you can't just kill somebody like that. But there, where ultimately does the power come from? From Lei Tiltzoch. And also, let me understand another thing. It says the first murderer in this world. Who is the first murderer?
Cain.
Cain killed Hevel. Cain killed Hevel. Do we have one of the most beautiful sleepers, the day of Tzim Gedalia? There is, even though there are sins, there is a word called tshuva, repentance. And one of the prime example of a Baal tshuva was Cain. Now I ask you, how can you do tshuva if somebody is murdered? Cain murdered Hevel. How in the world could he put? The answer is, Cain made a basic mistake, and that's why he came to kill Hevel. According to one account, Cain was the master of the land, and what? Hevel was in charge of the livestock. You know, Hevel and Hevel train. He took care of the sheep. Hello?
Yeah. Somebody mute yourself.
Yeah. Oh, so Cain was the man of the world, of the land, and of course he was familiar with the whole terrain, with the whole land, and he took Hevel once on a survey of the land, and he knew that there was a crack between the rocks, and he took him right over there, and Hevel unfortunately fell, and he was killed. So Cain didn't kill him. And when Hashem said to Cain, "Hey, Hevel Achicha, where's your brother Hevel? Lo yadati, I don't know. Disappeared. Hashem Arochi Anechi, one of my, his aid and my guardian." What was his chet? What was his sin? He disregarded human life. Human life didn't mean anything to him. So he's a brother, so what? I can go without him. That is why Cain was indicted as murderer, the first murderer. And therefore, what was his tshuva? Hashem told him, "Never mind, you say you don't know. Kol d'mei ochicha tshayakim li. The blood of your brother is crying out to me, wherever he is." Oh, Cain realized, he's a human being, you have to be very, very careful. That's the most precious thing there is in this world. That's what we mean as Cain Osachur. And then we come to the last mitzvah. We're going to skip here. The last mitzvah is Lo Sachmod. Do not... he's translated as Kovet. You want something. You see somebody has a beautiful car, you want it. Now there's a machlekes between the poskim, between the authorities. When has a person able to say, Lei Sachmed? the Vilna Gaon's, this is the most important of all the mitzvahs. The basis of all the Ten Commandments, Loi Sachmed. Ibn Ezra raises here a basic question. What does it mean, do not want, do not covet? You can tell a fellow, don't eat the ham sandwich. Don't be Michal Shabbos. Don't kill somebody. That's an act. But Leisach made means in your mind. I walk down the street and I see this fellow has a Cadillac. He has a Lexus. What do you mean I don't want it? Of course I want it. It's a natural thing. Natural, right? How can you tell a person don't want it? So the obvious answer, the Rambam says. The Rambam says, just for wanting, that's no avera yet. If you act on it, lay sakmeid, you want it, and you go over and you say to him, please, I would like to borrow this car. I would like to buy it. Why? He says, it's not for sale. And you insist, and you pester him day after day. It's a beautiful car, and so on. I'll pay you cash, and as you wouldn't have to pay any income tax or sales tax. I'm not interested in that. And you go ahead, and you pester him until finally he says, all right, take it, to get out of here. So you take out cash. What is it? I don't know what the price is, $20,000, whatever. You put it on the table. And you drive off with the car. The Rambam says that's what Leisach means. You paid for it, right? But you were able to make the Leisach means. Tesis says there's no avera altogether because everything has a monetary value. If you pay the full value, there is no Leisach means. If you go to a store, you also pay the same amount, right? I mean, maybe you get a discount, but that is no shachmeid. And Ibn Ezra says that the mitzvah of shachmeid means you realize what I have was destined, it was mine. What Reuven has, it was destined, Rosh Hashanah, it was destined Reuven should have this and this. Shimon, it was destined in Hashemayim, he should have wealth, be a rich man. And Yehuda, the same thing, all the way down. And so Leisach Meid ultimately means Hashgacha Pratis. Every person, individual, has a sponsorship and a watchman. Hashem watches over him everything. It is nothing by itself. So Leisach Meid is the basis of the whole Jewish faith, which is based on Hashgacha Pratis. Hashem, I mean, unfortunately the world is living through a pandemic. The whole world, not only Jewish world, the whole world. But we must realize it doesn't happen by itself. There is Hashgacha Pratis. Hashem was Gezel for some reason. We hope the Mashiach will come very shortly and we will all be relieved of this terrible plague. Okay, thank you very much again. And I.
Well, Dr. Really Vilna Gaon, what does the Vilna Gaon say?
The Vilna Gaon says, Leisach Meid is the Moshev, call up for Leisach Meid is the basis of Sels Adibris and all the Torah Kula. Hashgacha Pratis. Leisach Meid means, what do you want? What you have is yours. What he has is his. You can't have no idea you're going to get it. Right?
That's a koyach. It's Shmuel Yishai Yafi. It's a koyach.
Does anybody have any questions? Please, one at a time, please. Hello?
Yeah, what?
Where was the Marshal about Goyim not being Mekabel Shabbos?
The second Perek of Beitzo, right at the beginning of the Perek. The Chochma Shloime, it's called.
Shkoyach.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Shulman. Shkoyach.
You never heard this Marshal before, did you?
No, never. Unbelievable.
What do you mean? It's been there for 400 years.
Okay, listen. Bikesh Meishel Ahasik Chochma Shleime.
Oh, Bikesh Leime Elias Kemeisha. Yosef Maskel Leikom Kemeisha. So the Helstach, the Shleime, Galuria, one place he takes issue with the Rambam. So one fellow wrote on him, Bikesh Leime Elias Kemeisha. That's good, huh?
Yeah, that was clever.
All right, any other questions, please? Okay, but Neda, next week is Nishpatim, right?
Yeah.
Again, 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, please. Blineda.
Okay, Skoyach, Skoyach, call to Skoyach. It's Shmuel Yishai Yafi, Rabbi Shulman.
Oh, what's Machman? How are you?
Baruch Hashem, Mamish Mayim Korim Al Nefesh
Hayefa. You never saw this Marshal before?
No, I don't think so.
Marshal Lecha, Mamish, an eye opener.
I'm going to go look at it, Take. Shkoyach, Shkoyach.
The Arelim on Yavus, they went to see. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Shkoyach. Shkoyach.
I didn't have enough time. There's much more in it. Oh, we can shachti the after.
Okay. This is Efshe B'Tashlumen. This is Efshe B'Tashlumen.
I'll tell you what after is. State Azay as Shaya Novi said the Sheikh. I see him the Hamt Meso Sayan. He comes on the Malach and he says, the Sor Avinecho Hatos Kotakupa. Oma, so the Mori says, Areas Oirim Bacholim. If somebody sees barley in a cholim, in a dream, in a sinin, the Sor Avinecho Hatos Kotakupa.
Yeah?
Because Sayan so. Oh, my Reb Zera. Reb Zera, you know, came from Bavel to El Yisrael. So he was afraid to go to El Yisrael. He has to be a tzaddik in El Yisrael. Oh, my Reb Zera, I went Leitzolik to El Yisrael until I saw Sairim Becholim. I saw Sairim in Echolim in Asimin Vesor Avinech. I had no Averis. We do Tshuva, right? Then he can go to El Yisrael. Correct?
Yeah.
Is Vilcha Avera Stato? What was Avera? Yeshaya Novi, he was criticizing the people of Israel, right? B'teich Am Tzmei Sosayim Anech Yeshu. Right?
Yeah.
So that is the Sora Venecho. Now he did Tshuva, so he took away. Reb Zera was afraid. Maybe he has no moral right to go to Israel. He always criticized Jews. Yeah?
Yeah.
Until Minaf Shalmayim, they said, you will never criticize Jews in your life, or you can go to Israel. So people who criticize Jews have no moral right to go to Israel. Understand?
Wow.
Don't stay in the Gemara. Omar Abzer, Eli Salkin, El Sisrod, because Gimcha. Okay, Ashkoyach.
Ashkoyach, I got the call to.
Yeah, Ashkoyach, why do it?